So, if you accept the fact, if you accept the fact that existence, whatever form it takes, is inherently preferable to non-existence, you must also accept a human responsibility and accountability to the existence in which we find ourselves. Now, I'm sure you can think of many examples in which existence is not preferable to non-existence, and on an individual basis, this is certainly sometimes the case. Many human lives have been filled with suffering from causes too numerous and desperate to mention, and as such, many people may, in actuality, rather have not been born, given the alternative of torturous existences here. But existence at all connotes potential. And without potential, there is no hope of goodness, of joy, or of love. Many people have used this concept of existence as a positive potential, as a rationalization or justification for the existence of God. I'm not here to argue this point. I am, however, interested in what this realization means for our accountability as individual human beings to the interdependent web of all existence. We, as members of our ever-growing global family, are now at a crossroads which may determine the future of our very existence. We have known for years, in abstract terms, the destructive potential of nuclear warfare. But recent computer simulations have confirmed the reality that the detonation of even a single hydrogen bomb could throw enough ash into the air to block out the sun and cause a global ice age that would last for centuries. Meteorologists and climate experts are nearly unanimous in their assertion that human consumption of fossil fuels is creating global climate change at an alarming and dangerous rate. 2015 was the warmest year on record, and surveys of the ice caps indicate that we are less than 1 degree Celsius away from a million-year high. Even more alarming are recent simulations that show continuing ice loss at the poles might increase dramatically over the next century, potentially causing drastic sea level rise the world over. Extinction of species is all too common in a world with shrinking natural habitat, reduced resources, and increased pollution resulting from human consumption. Before human industrialization began, plants and animals are estimated to have gone extinct at the rate of 10 to 20 species a year. Now, 10 to 20 species a day are disappearing. The mere improbability of our existence and the realization that this existence is not logically necessary indicates a gift. Whether through divine intervention, a benevolent prime mover, or simply good fortune, we human beings are participants in a diverse and awe-inspiring existence. Now, however, we recognize that our decisions today have more significant implications than ever before. Things that we decide to do or not to do about warfare, the environment, the climate, will affect all of our descendants, potentially the future of life itself. Now, as universalists, we've known this for a long time, that we're all in this together, and the future of the individual depends intrinsically on the future of the whole. And as universalists, we have also recognized for a long time that we are all equally deserving of and responsible to this great spirit and of life and love. If we might only consider the alternative, we might all live into this responsibility more fully and truly protect the whole gift of creation, not only for ourselves, but our children's children's children and beyond. May it be so. Blessed be and amen. Now invite the congregation to rise in body or spirit. Turn once again to the gray hymnal, to number 317, and join us in singing our closing hymn, "We Are Not Our Own." Close our service today with the extinguishing of the Unitarian Universalist chalice, but not the light of truth, the spark of hope, or the warmth or love it represents. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again. Go now in peace, go now in love. Think in particular this week about the alternative of existence and our responsibility to maintain the gift we've been given.